What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. We're on episode 59, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon, that helps us out and helps the podcast keep on going here. With me this morning, as pretty much every morning, I have Derek. What's up, Derek?
Not much. How you doing, bud?
I'm pretty good today, actually. We're back on our normal Friday morning schedule. Which I don't know if I like it more than Saturday. Saturday was kind of weird.
Well, like, it was nice to be, like, a little more awake.
This is true.
We recorded a lot later in the day, but it is nice to do it on Friday, get it done, get it out of the way, get you guys the news first thing Friday.
Yes. So, with that, let's, I guess we'll just jump right in. So this week I took a look at two really cool products. The first one was a product that I actually saw at CES and I was actually really excited about because it is a PC case that is not that expensive that still looks awesome. So it is the Corsair Carbide Series 400C case. And, right before the new year, Corsair launched their Carbide 600 series, which was made up of the 600C and 600Q, and these are the larger cases. Now, this case is a little bit smaller, you know, as you can guess by the naming.
Yeah.
So, 400C, very, very small case, no 5.25-inch drive base, which I'm a huge fan of, because I don't know who use optical media these days.
Ditch them.
But, yeah, it's a $99 case. One thing I really, really like about it is that it does have that awesome window. So the entire side panel is basically a window, which I really love. You know, so many cases just have like a small little window that maybe will show off your motherboard, and that's basically it. This side panel shows off everything.
There's something about the big side panel too, like just the view it gives you. It just feels more like encompassing.
Yeah.
You know?
And the side panel, what's really cool about it is that it has this handle or this latch on it that allows you to easily open it.
Is that a little latch in the handle?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so you just pull it open. So it's a swing open door, so it's easy to access all your components. And then once you do have it open, you can kind of just pull up on it, and the entire side panel will come off. So if you're doing your installation, that side panel won't get in the way.
It's like a must-have feature.
Yeah, so it's a great little case. It's made for water cooling. You have room in the top and the front for water cooling.
A mid-tower, right? Is it just a small mid-tower?
Yes, a small mid-tower. It's one of the smaller ones because it is more compact because, again, you don't have this 5.25-inch drive base getting in the way. You have room for 5 hard drives, full-size power supply, full-size graphics card.
Are those hard drive trays on the back side of the motherboard, or are they a solid state?
Which ones?
It's like a plastic brackets on the back.
The plastic bracket, those are for the SSDs.
Okay.
So you have 3 of those, and then below you have 2 larger trays, and the larger trays support both 3.5-inch and 2.5-inch. But yeah, I really like this case just for the price point. It is a really great case for the price point. And the thing is, looking at this price point, there's not a whole lot of cases that give you water cooling ready, this awesome side panel, room for large graphics cards as well as large power supplies, all in, you know, all encompassing in this price point. That's one thing I really like about this. So if you're, again, you're not using optical drives and you're looking for a case around the $100 range, this is definitely one that I would recommend.
Cool.
It comes with 2 included fans. You know, you do have fan filters everywhere too that you would expect from Corsair. Does have a power supply cover as well, so you keep that out of the way. And all of the cabling is designed to go behind the backside of the case. So, you know, you're looking at that big clear window, you're like, oh, all my cables are going to be messy. You really don't have to deal with that,
nice.
You know, because everything is made to be routed around the back of the case. I had no problems closing the back of the case as well. So, yeah.
Plenty of room back there.
Yeah, plenty of room. I did have a couple issues, but it was nothing major. Like that SSD bracket that you talked about, I wish you could take – it's one big bracket. So I wish you could take them off individually. So say I was only using one SSD, I could take that out I could take the other two out and make more room for cable routing and things like that.
Just kind of clean it up back there.
Yeah, that was one of the things. But again, it's still a great case. For $99, you really can't go wrong. So yeah, definitely liked it.
Cool.
And then I took a look at a really interesting product. We don't take a look at a whole lot of mobile products, but I found this one really interesting because it's just a little different. So I took a look at an iPhone case, and this one comes from Native Union. And I'm actually a huge fan of this company because they, you know, there's so many companies out there that make iPhone accessories and even so mobile accessories. And you're like, okay, they're just doing the same thing as everybody else. But this company is actually really, really interesting because a lot of their products are very unique to them, which is something you don't see anymore. So this is their Click 360. So it's your typical iPhone 6S case. But what's really interesting is that if you flip it over to the back, it has this sort of canvas on it, which is this British Miller. I can't even say it. It's really cool. It's this British Millerane canvas that it's waterproof. And what has a really cool story about it is this canvas was actually used by the British military. And what will happen with this canvas, it's like a waxed type of canvas, is that over time it will wear and it will have its own, like it will develop its own color.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's like one of those things, like if you have like a nice leather jacket or something, that over time it will wear.
Actually becomes nicer.
Yeah, so this is the same type of thing. So I think that's really cool and really unique because we don't see a lot of cool stuff like that. And they actually give you a guide with the case on how to treat the canvas and how to clean it and everything like that. I think it's really cool. And what's really great about this case is that, yeah, it has that cool canvas on the back, but the case is actually really nicely designed that it's not super, like, it doesn't add a lot of bulk to your phone.
Yeah,
you know, that's one thing
that's key to me.
Yeah, but it does offer the best protection. It's military grade drop protection, so you can drop this. It's made so that if you do drop it, it's never going to hit your screen's never going to hit off the ground. You know, it's a really, really great case because what I mentioned in my review is when I went to go get my iPhone, I was just at the Apple store and I was like, I need a case, and I bought a case and it was $50. And I felt like, one, I paid way too much money for this case. Two, that it didn't really offer the protection that I wanted. And it looked kind of crappy, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I paid $50 for it. Yeah. And this case is $40. And it has that really cool canvas. It protects my phone much better. It looks better. It fits better. It's actually a smaller profile, so it doesn't add that much weight or extra bulk to my phone. And I really, really like it. And again, I've used it for almost 3 weeks now, and it's starting to kind of get that, I guess you'd call that wear in the back, that it will develop its own, you know, it's kind of like one of those like really cool, if you see those like really cool vintage backpacks that are the same thing, that like, again, they'll develop their own color over time. I think this is the same thing, and I think it's really cool, and I think it's cool that they're bringing that to an iPhone or I don't know if they make these for other devices, but if they would, you know, it's really cool to have that. Definitely nice. A huge fan of Native Union. If you've never heard of them, definitely check them out. We took a look at their jump cable, which I use every day now, which was their cable that has the power bank built into it.
Yeah.
Which was a Kickstarter project, which was pretty cool. They have a lot of really cool products.
So, like, that was their original Kickstarter project, and then they've kind of just developed their product line from there.
Yeah. And what's, like, again, what's really cool is if, you know, everybody thinks, oh, an iPhone case is an iPhone case, but they've done a lot of really cool stuff with this. It's until you actually review these products or really get into them, you don't really know all the ins and outs of, you know, what the case is made out of and how they developed it. And they really go into that in their packaging and in, you know, their documentation of, you know, how we developed this, why it's made to protect your phone. And they give a really cool backstory on that canvas that's on the back of the case too. So, you know, you kind of get that story, and it's kind of cool to like have a piece of material that was also used in like the, you know, the World War, I can't even talk this morning. and the major wars that the British military used. It's kind of cool, I think. And they offer it in a bunch of different colors as well. So yeah, really cool case. If you're looking for a new case for your iPhone, definitely check out Native Union. I'm a huge fan of them after checking out two of their products. So
cool.
So yes. So that was the reviews for the week, and we'll jump into Case Mod Friday because today is Friday, and that is a section of the site where we cover a case mod or build that's been completed in the community, and this one is called Mad Scientist, and if you look at it, you can see why. It is sort of a, what I guess you would call a Mad Scientist type build. A lot of scientific themed things all throughout. The color scheme is, of course, it's this crazy neon. All of the coolant in the system is all neon. And he's done some really cool things to make this, again, like a
it's like a mad scientist lab.
Yeah, that's
lab table,
you,
or something.
Yeah, you definitely explain it better than I do. and this is by the same guy that did, you remember that Far Cry mod?
Yeah.
That we thought was really, really cool. This is the same guy, Ozmod.
With the Far Cry one that was like the little terrarium.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That one was cool. Yeah. This is at first I saw this and I was like, "There's a throwback to like the early 2000s of computing when like everybody was like using neon and like coloring like everything with like black light pens and stuff, you know?" Mm-hmm. So. This was really, I was like, at first I was a little like turned off, but like the more you start to look at it, it's actually just like, that's just like the kind of like accent to it. Like his detail in like everything that he's gone into on it is like pretty incredible. He's got like all this crazy tubing, rigid tubing bends. Like he's got like a full spiral. I don't think I've ever seen that. Just a lot of stuff that's like, it emulates like lab equipment. Like, and then he has actual like beakers and stuff in there too, and then like he's got like the backplate on the GPU has like the like scribbling from like a chalkboard like that you would find in like a lab or like a college math class or something like that.
That's one of my favorite things about this.
Yeah.
So Derek said on the GPU backplate and actually throughout the case, he has these like equations and things like that. And they're all written in neon. So you can only see them when the lights are on, which I think is super cool. So it's kind of like a hidden type thing. You know, like one of the big things is like E equals MC squared. He has a bunch of cool stuff on there. Again, I think that everybody can do these water cooling builds and everything like that, but the attention to detail with things like that, that really sets this mod off, I think. I think that
it has a really good atmosphere, right?
Yeah. I just think it's really cool. And one of the other really cool things is that he has this beaker on the top of the case that's made to look like it's spilling. And then where it spilled, he actually somehow melted part of the case.
Yeah.
So it looks like whatever he spilled actually melted the case. And then
like it was an acid or something.
And then on the front, he has this really big, I don't know.
It's a beaker.
Yeah, this really big beaker on the front of the case. And I was actually talking to him, and he said that when the system is running, that will actually bubble.
Oh, cool.
So that's really
I was wondering because it's got a tube going into it. So.
Yeah, so that's what it's made for. He said he was going to get a video, but he didn't get it in time for us because I really wanted to feature this.
But
it's just really, really cool, and I love theme builds that go above and beyond. And I think this one does just for the fact that he has extra stuff in there that's not needed. Like he has those beakers in there. He has all that cool writing and things like that. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, like I said, at first it was like, I'm like, this is just looks like a cluttered neon, like, I'm not into it. But, like, the more you have to, like, get into the details of it. And then once you do that, you start to get into it, and you're like, oh, this is actually pretty incredible. And I'm really glad that he went this route with this.
Yeah, and this is, he submitted this for the Cooler Master Case Mod World Series. Not exactly sure if that's over yet or what's going on, but if you have the chance to vote for him, go ahead and do that, because I think this is a really cool build. And again, we don't see a lot of people doing stuff like this.
He's got two little, like, they've got to be like 100 millimeter reservoirs, one's at the top and one's at the bottom. He actually, because all reservoirs have like the plate, the caps, they have like three or four ports in them, but we usually only use like one to connect, right? But he actually used all three on both of them and connected them both with three pieces of tubing. I think that's really cool. That's not something I've ever seen. It's purely for aesthetics.
Yeah. And that's what's so great about this case is he went the extra mile to again, make this look like a mad scientist laboratory. That's really great. And like I said, it's cool to see what somebody can do because, again, we know him from that Far Cry mod, which was a little completely different.
Earthy mod, yeah.
And then this is something completely different. So really, really awesome there. Definitely like it.
It's cool.
Yes, and it does, again, the color scheme brings you back to that early 2000, as you said, when everybody was using neon in their PC, so I like that as well. But it's not a mod that's, like, from back then. Like, you can tell this is a very current mod, which I like.
Yes. I bet in person this is an even more impressive mod, too, because it has a Vexerate memory, which is the plasma tubes, which does not show up on film, like, at all. And he's also got, plasma bulb bulb, you know, where you touch them and like the plasma like goes to where your finger's touching the bulb at.
Yeah, he has one of those in there too. So that's just
awesome. Probably pretty cool when it's.
I would definitely like to see this in person. I think it'd be awesome. So yeah, sure. definitely check out this mod. And again, we have a full section of all of these mods because we feature one each week. So if you're just looking for cool mods or looking maybe for inspiration for your own mod, definitely check it out. We have a ton in there. And this is, again, one of my – it seems like every week we, like, find ones that we like. It's like we don't find a bad mod anymore. I think it's because the community is so big now.
Oh, gosh. There's so many people doing mods now.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And the level – like, the level has been raised so high.
Oh, yeah. Especially with all these competitions, which I think is so great. Every major company now is having a mod competition, which is really great. And then all of these companies for all the events, they're commissioning these mods too, which I think is really cool. So yes. So we will move on to news. And today was a big week because it is GTC, that is the GPU Technology Conference, was earlier this week. And that is held by NVIDIA. And the big thing with NVIDIA this week is they announced their GP100 GPU, which is going to what's it called? I can't even think. Man, I'm like not aware. It's going to power their brand new Tesla P100, which is like their super high end GPU that's made for data centers and HPC.
Yeah, not consumer level product.
Not consumer level product, but this is the first GPU from NVIDIA that will make use of HBM2 memory.
And our first Pascal GPU as well.
First Pascal GPU. So it features a multi-chip module, much like which we saw from AMD's Fiji. So the GPU sits on a silicon wafer, and then you have HBM2 memory stacks built onto it.
I don't know if it's like bias because I like NVIDIA or if it's the render, but I think that the render of the actual chip actually looks a lot cleaner than than the Fury wafer did.
Yeah, it looks a lot cleaner. It's good to see this. I wish we would have saw some consumer stuff, but I think we're going to be – I think you especially are going to be disappointed by the consumer thing because none of them are going to have HBM2.
None of it?
From what I've gathered.
That's what I was thinking. Do you want to move to the next piece of news?
Not yet. Because we still got to talk about this. Okay. So
that does segue.
The Pascal GP100, that is the brand new chip. And it has 3,840 CUDA cores, 240 texture units, and a 4,096-bit memory interface for HBM2. And again, this is really made for high-end systems. It is not a consumer product. Now, some people have speculated that there'll be a cut-down version of this for a high-end consumer product, like a Titan.
Right.
But we don't know just yet. It's not something that you're going to see, I feel, for a while.
And if they do it, this is like so advanced. I bet it's ungodly expensive too.
So the GP100 will be part of their Tesla product, which is made for supercomputing, which we actually have a story on, and all of that. So I think it's really cool. It's good to see this new product come out, I think. But I think a lot of people, especially you, because I know you're looking forward to getting a new graphics card.
I was.
um, you know, this is just, this is their first main product. And I think that not a lot of people realize that their supercomputing and their HPC and their data center products, that's a big part of their business. A huge part of their business, actually. You know, so
they don't have to sell nearly as many of these products as they do consumer level products.
Yes.
Make the same profit.
But yeah, I think it's really cool. I think that,
it's got amazing performance. This is going to be a huge for what it's made for.
And it's not your traditional, if you look at it, it's not your traditional graphics card either. So these can be easily integrated into a server, not taking up a whole lot of space. You know, these aren't massively big graphics cards.
Yeah.
Not
your like 16-inch long card.
Yeah. It's just a nice little chip there, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that was the big announcement at GTC.
Probably the biggest, but yeah. There was a ton of other stuff.
The other big announcement for NVIDIA, and again, not on the sort of consumer, but not really consumer side, is they announced their NVIDIA Drive PX2 compute module. And this module is made for cars. And what it actually is it's part of the car module that does a lot with self-driving cars.
Yeah, and self-driving
technology,
right?
And you know, NVIDIA wants to really be one of those companies that car makers go to for their computer system.
I would encourage this.
Yeah, we've seen this. Actually, I've seen NVIDIA car products at CES for the past. This is their big one. This is their huge one.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is this NVIDIA Drive PX2. It is powered by 2 Pascal graphics chips. And one thing that's really interesting is if you look at it, the Pascal graphics chips are their more traditional. They're not like the Tesla card with the HBM2. These, while not confirmed, look to feature GDDR5 class memory. Whether it's GDDR5 or GDDR5X, we're not sure. But if you look at it,
it's definitely not HBM stack.
It's definitely not an HBM type of card. And so that makes us think, as I said earlier, that mid-range Pascal cards will use their traditional graphics card layout with most likely GDDR5X rather than, you know, going the HBM2 route, which I don't think, again, most of the Pascal cards will not feature HBM2.
Yeah, which is sad.
Which I know you're sad about.
Yeah.
But
I'm waiting for the news where they're not on any consumer level products.
Yeah.
It won't even surprise me at this point.
We will have to see.
Yeah.
Also at GTC, I know there's a lot of NVIDIA news. But this is a really insane product, I feel. NVIDIA
it's kind
launched
of scary.
Their DGX-1, which they call the world's first deep learning supercomputer, and this is designed to meet the unlimited computing demands of artificial intelligence, which is like scary. It's like Skynet.
Yeah,
it's
seriously.
So this
got such strong implementations.
Yeah, so this is their insanely crazy supercomputer for, you know, atomic testing and all this kind of crazy stuff that, you know, none of us really even know about. What's interesting is that those brand new Tesla P100 GPU accelerators that we just talked about, that is, you know, the card that features the HBM2, it will have 8 of those in there.
Just jammed full.
It's
not even very big.
It's not big. Well, this Tesla card was made for, is this type of this type of system.
This application.
So up to 170 teraflops of half precision peak performance, which is insane.
Yeah.
7 terabytes SSD cache. You know, it's a 3U system. Obviously, server-based system. No clue how much this thing will cost. It's going to be super, super expensive. But I think, again, this is going to be used for really high-end stuff that we'll have nothing to do with. But what I like about it is this is, you know, they announced this Tesla P100 card, and this is their implementation for it. And this is going to be, this shows, you know, maybe system developers, this is how we're going to use this product.
I also see, though, that like, so that the new card will probably be in the $4,000 to $5,000 range, because they always are, right?
Yeah.
The P100. So I would say this is going to be in like the $20,000 to $30,000 range, right?
Yeah, because there's eight of them.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Which is actually for a supercomputer, that's cheap.
Yeah.
So like I see them actually making supercomputing with this possible for more universities, companies. Like they're actually probably going to drive AI development quite a bit with this.
Yeah. They said the throughput, it will this the GPU
Flame
architecture and the
through for
yeah, the throughput would be the same as 250 CPU based servers, which is crazy.
yeah, all in the size, like literally it's smaller than most like full-size towers.
Yeah, it's a 3U rack, which is not overly big at all.
No.
So that's pretty awesome. Again, this isn't anything consumer based, but I figured we'd talk about it because I like that NVIDIA
It's very sciencey.
came out with the Tesla and we're like, okay, this isn't for us, but what is it going to be used for? And then they show us this is really what it's going to be used for.
Yeah.
And again, this is a big part of their sales, and this is a big part of the company. But not a lot of
Yeah.
people realize is that NVIDIA doesn't just make consumer graphics cards. They have, their HPC, enterprise stuff, and then they have the drive stuff. It's a big
Yeah.
company. So this was one of the other things that they announced at GTC. So
Yeah.
those were the really big announcements at GTC. Nothing on the consumer side, and I don't think we'll hear anything till Computex, to be honest. So
Keep waiting.
talking about Computex, it looks like AMD is actually going to launch their R9 490X and R9 490 in June, beginning of June, which will mark the Computex time,
Right.
which is really interesting. And according to the source, it's going to be a paper launch, so they're just going to show the card, and you'll see reviews later in the month. And the thing that's really interesting about this story is that this source is very adamant that the R9 490X will be based on the Polaris 10 GPU. So that can mean one of two things. One, what's weird is if that's the 490X is the high card in the stack, it's either going to be the Fury X is still going to be faster than it, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
So they'll still offer a Fury series card, or that the Fury X is slower and that Polaris 10 will be used for the R9 480 series instead. And we're not sure in the R9 490 series will be based on Fury. We're not really sure. It's really weird. But this person is really adamant that the 490X will be based on Polaris 10. So not really sure what's going to happen to that Fury line. It's really weird.
Could go a number of different ways. Could mean a number of different things.
Yeah, but it'd be really cool if we did see that launch then. That's a lot sooner than expected, I think, for these cards. Especially if we have we
Yeah.
have the announcement at Computex, and then they'll be available later in the month.
It seems like they're rushing to beat NVIDIA to market on this one.
Yeah. So, but I think again, Computex is going to be a really fun time, for sure. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Talking about AMD launches, last month we talked about the Radeon Pro Duo, which of course is their dual Fiji card. They showed it off. They had a big event for it, and they didn't tell us when it would be available. They just showed it off.
Yeah.
So
Happens sometimes.
it looks like it will launch this month. It's going to launch April 26th. That is when you're going to be able to buy the card. So if you want to sink $1,500 into this card, that's when you're going to be able to get it. And AMD again is setting this card up to be the ultimate graphics card for VR.
Right.
So it is kind of a mold between their high-end Fire Pro and their highest-end Radeon card. It'd be cool to see. The reviews should be out before it actually launches. So I'm really interested to see the real performance numbers from reviewers.
Yeah. It's interesting because the value is actually not there. You can get two Furies for $1,200. So
So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always good to wait till the reviews come out. And from what we know, the reviews should be out a week before the launch, so you'll be able to see the performance before you go out and spend $1,500.
Yeah, definitely do that.
And then on the CPU side, AMD sort of pre-announced their Bristol Ridge APUs for notebooks. So this is their 7th generation APU family, codenamed Bristol Ridge. We talked about it before. These will be an update to the Carrizo APUs, which have been available for the past year. And what's interesting about this is, you know, these are, and this is only the mobile part, this is not the desktop part,
right,
is that this will be the first notebooks, or the first notebook part from AMD that will have DDR4 memory.
Hmm.
And they're going to bring a much better performance as far, you know, compared to the last generation. So it's if you're a notebook person, if you're looking to get, maybe upgrade, and you are an AMD guy on the notebook side, not sure why you would be, but if you are, this is really exciting because you're going to be able to have much better performance. You're going to get DDR4 memory. And the graphics performance is 18% better than the previous generation. So again, the APU does have the graphics built in, so you're going to have better graphics performance as well.
Cool.
So yeah. Again, this is I like it that we're finally getting to DDR4 on the AMD side. You're going to see it with all their new launches this year, is that everything's going to support DDR4. So
yeah,
that is actually fun for them.
Good for them.
And then moving over to the high-end Intel side, some of the details of Intel's upcoming Core i7-6950X were leaked. And the leak was actually from Intel. under their Intel Management Engine software, under the detailed description, it listed a Intel i7-6950X. And it let us know that it will have a 25 meg cache, and the speed will be up to 3.5 gigahertz. So I don't know why they put that in there yet. I mean, a lot of times we do see this in the driver updates. You'll see upcoming graphics cards and things like that in there. So yeah, I'm really excited for this. This will be Broadwell E. It will still be compatible with the X99 boards that are out there with a BIOS update. And it is speculated that this, which I'm super excited for, will be the first client platform CPU with 10 cores. So this, the high-end version, which is the 6950X, will be a 10-core processor, which is awesome, which is hyper-threading, will be 20 cores. the thing is, a lot of people don't realize.
Get your encoding on.
Yeah, if a lot of people don't realize is, oh, it's only 3.5 gigahertz. You know, there's faster. Intel's more mid-range stuff is 4 gigahertz, 4.2. You know, boost up to 4.2. But you have to realize you have 10 cores working at that speed. You know, in which we reviewed the last high-end desktop processor. If you're doing anything with encoding that is multi-threaded, anything that's multi-threaded, really, you're going to see a massive performance increase. You know, I do a lot of encoding for our YouTube channel, and I do it on a high-end desktop processor. And just the difference...
oh, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's awesome. So if this is true, that this will be a 10-core processor, I'm really pumped about it.
It's going to smash.
Yeah.
This is going to be, like... I have a feeling it's going to be one of those awesome chips that's just, like, the go-to, you know?
Yeah, so I'm really excited for that. These chips, there'll be three. They'll be expected, again, a 10-core, an 8-core, and a 6-core. There's usually three in the high-end desktop line. And these should launch. I'm expecting in Computex, but I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah.
So somewhere around that time, we'll see this launch. And again, if you already have an X99 board, you can easily upgrade just with a BIOS update in the chip will be supported. So
it's awesome.
Yes,
a lot of value there.
And we should see a couple new motherboard launches with this as well. So
yeah, for
definitely
sure,
definitely excited for that. Talking about motherboards, ASRock launched their Z170M OC formula. So this is really a cool board if you're an overclocker. This is their micro ATX variant of their flagship board, which is the Z170 OC formula. Has a crazy, especially for a micro ATX, 14-phase VRM for the CPU.
That's legit.
2-phase VRM for the memory. It has all of the overclocking things that you would want.
8-pin.
Overclocking settings on the board itself, so you can actually change things on the board with buttons. It has, again, everything you would want in an overclocking board in a micro ATX form factor. It looks awesome. I love the color. It's black and gold. Definitely a huge fan of that.
I actually feel that this looks better than the full-size board.
Yeah, I do like it. It's just it's a nice board. It has the dip switches that I believe allow you to turn off the PCI Express slots. You know, it has everything. Like, so if you're an overclocker and you want to get overclocking on a smaller form factor, this is definitely the board for it. Dual BIOS, so you can easily switch your BIOSes over. You know, again, as I said, overclocking stuff built on the board. Crazy high VRM for a desktop board. It's a cool looking board. ASRock always has done a good job on their OC line, so definitely. No word yet on pricing.
Probably closer to 3.
Maybe 250, I'm going to guess.
250?
Yeah.
I want to say like 280.
I don't know. We'll have to see. But really cool looking board. So if you are into overclocking, this is definitely a board that you should check out for sure.
Yes.
So, here's something you'd be excited about since you're super into VR. Is that HTC is partnering with GameStop as well as Microsoft to bring VR demos into the store. So the biggest thing with VR is that you probably won't be sold on it if you've never experienced it, I think.
It would be difficult to put the money down.
Yeah, unless you have a lot of extra money laying around and you just want to get it just to do it, I think that VR is a hefty... hefty investment, not only the headset but the other hardware to run it.
You probably can't do it for less than $2,000.
Well, if you already have a PC, right?
Well, that's what I mean. I'm including the PC.
Yeah,
so, but yeah, the Vive is what was 800.
Yeah,
so that's a good chunk of change.
So what HTC is doing to sell that product is they will they're partnering with GameStop to have demos in the store, and they're also partnering with Microsoft, who has brick-and-mortar stores, to bring the demos in the stores as well. And this is a big push by them. This is a, because it's a lot of money to put out to have these demos out there.
Yeah.
So I think this is great for VR, for one, but it's huge for HTC as well. You know what I mean?
Because, to be the ones doing it.
Yeah. So
I agree.
The GameStop plans to have demos in 10 different locations by the middle of this month. And Microsoft, the first VR demos will be in their flagship store in New York City, one in Bellevue Square in Washington State, and another one in City Creek Center in Utah. They also have planned to have demos available in 30 stores by the end of the year. So I think this is awesome. I think that, you know, when you have new technology like this and you want consumers to really get into it, you have to be able to get them to try it.
Yeah, this is definitely a thing that you have to try, because I wasn't sold until I tried it.
Yeah,
and then like I tried it, and I have to have it.
And so a lot of things, like when I was younger, you know, you go to the mall, you go into GameStop, and you maybe try out a new console or you try out a new game, and that sells you on it. That makes you want it. I remember trying Game Boy Color in GameStop, and I was like, I need this. You know what I mean? So it's really cool. You know, obviously this is a much more expensive product, but I think it's really awesome that they're making this push. They're getting more people into it, and getting more people fans of it, because this is the future, I think. You know, I don't think this is a huge bad.
I think it is. I think it's going to be a lot more refined, but we're definitely moving towards the future.
Yeah, so very, very cool by HTC. You can go to the HTC Vive website, and it will tell you where it will be, what locations. So nice. If you're looking to see if your local GameStop will do it, you can go ahead and check it out. So, yeah. So, one final product announcement this week. Li & Li announced their PCJ60, which isn't, I would say, the best-looking case. But what I love about it, what I love about most Li & Li cases, it's all aluminum.
I actually like it.
You like it?
Yeah.
This is one of the first Li & Li cases that has a full PSU cover.
Yeah, it looks really good.
But the PSU cover goes all the way to the front, so there goes your front water cooling.
Yeah. I don't really see Wanly as, like, your go-to water cooling case,
and,
though.
Which is, I just noticed this. I don't think I talked about it, but I just noticed this, is that there are no 5 1/4 inch drive bays on this. Yes.
Oh, that's like a first for them.
Yeah, so that, I just noticed this by looking at the front of the case. Yeah. There, yeah, no 5 1/4 inch drive bays, so that means you can fit extremely long graphics cards in there.
In the top. And you can actually get, what, radiator up to 430 in the top? You have that listed.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Is this their press release?
Yes.
Yeah, then 430 in the top. So that's not horrible. I mean, you can get a 240 in the front, it looks like, too.
Yeah.
Possibly 280. So, I mean, it's not like you can't water cool this case.
Oh, no.
But yeah, it's not as friendly.
I see. That's the thing. It's like, you know, so many of these companies are now adopting this PSU cover that they're, especially like this is like one of their first generation cases that will use it, is yeah. that they're not fully thinking it out yet, right?
Yeah. I think it's interesting they have a fan built into it. I think they're the first ones to do that, I think.
Yes. That is the cool, your hard drives. They have the two hard drive trays below
that. Yeah.
But yeah, one thing I love about the cases, especially if you go to the bottom photo in the post, is that they're all aluminum.
Oh my gosh, yeah. When you look at the back, it's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, I like paint. I like the painted thing, too, like, in the cases. Like, pretty much everything, all the cases now are fully painted, right? Back, front, everywhere, yeah. for the most part. Because they used to be just plain steel on the back or whatever. But this looks good.
Yeah.
Unpainted.
If you've never experienced a Lee & Lee case, they're all aluminum, so it's super light. But the aluminum is just, it's a very nice type of metal. Really worked with it or used it, it's much better than the steel.
Very refined fit.
Yeah. And Lee & Lee has been a pioneer using aluminum compared to, I think, everybody out there. Yeah. Pretty excited about this case. And since it is aluminum, it will carry a very high price tag. The windowless version of the case will be $189. The windowed will be $210.
But that's not horrible. You remember when they used to be like $600 cases?
Yes.
So we've come a long way.
Yes.
And I think this is good.
Yeah, I do like it. I do like that there are no 5 1/4 inch drive bays. I'm a huge fan of that. Yeah. Love it being all aluminum, and I do like the PSU cover. So
it'd be neat if they offered it in different color with the trim bit they've got on the window side.
Yeah, not
and
yet.
Just red, but they don't usually do that.
Yeah, but I do like it. So definitely check out that case if you're looking for a new Lee & Lee case. Mm-hmm. That's more, I guess you would say, updated than some of their other cases.
Yeah. So. It's still very refined, though.
Yes, I do like it.
Yeah.
And then finally, we'll end our news with a gaming article.
This is awesome.
So the Doom open beta has been announced. So there was a closed alpha, and then there was a closed beta. And now there will be a open beta free for everybody. As long as your computer will support it, it will play the game. Yeah. The open beta will run April 15th through the 17th.
Which is
next weekend. So it looks like I'm going to be killing you in Doom next weekend.
Doubtful. Doubtful, Bob.
I don't know, man. You're not really good at games, so.
We just haven't found the right game.
I know, because I'm not going to play old Battlefield. So free to play. You'll just go ahead and download the client, and you'll be able to get in and play. Just like the closed beta, you'll have access to team deathmatch and the warpath mode and on the maps Heatwave and Infernal, so you'll be able to definitely get it in, definitely be able to see how it performs on your PC as well, which is a big thing about these betas, which I really like, is that you'll be able to see if your PC will really actually play it. While a lot of these, you know, a lot of games will give you specs and all that, but until you actually get it on your system and play it, you never know how it's going to perform. So I think that's great about this beta. They also announced that they will have DLC packs coming out throughout the summer, and they'll have new maps and all that stuff. Each DLC pack will cost $15. And the season pass will be $40.
$40. I just hope that it's a full game and not just like half a game and then DLC.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. But
when you're already announcing your DLC pre-launch, with pricing and everything all set.
A lot of people do that. They did it with Star Wars.
I know,
they did it with a bunch of games.
They didn't used to. I'm just old.
Yeah. Oh, I know, man. It's we're just used to getting the game, and that's the game.
Yeah, you used to just buy the game. You'd go to the store and you'd buy the game.
And then they give us free, and they used to give us free stuff as the time went along. And now,
yeah, they did. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, we made this for you.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, sweet. So, now they're like, we made this for you to buy.
Well, what's really cool about this is that I forget the name of the tool, but there is a tool for this game that they've developed where you can create your own content. And you can
like a dev mod.
Mode? Sort of like it's like a map. You can create your own maps and all that kind of stuff.
Right, yeah.
So you'll be able to do that and play those maps online with friends and things like that too. So
cool.
I do like that. But yeah, I will definitely be getting into this and I will definitely be playing it. So
I'm excited because this looks really good.
Yeah, it does look really, really good.
The gameplay that has been released so far looks really fun. So I'm really looking forward to this.
Yes. And it's been a while since there has been, like, a really gory shooter come out.
Oh, a long time. I would even say since the last Dead Space.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, there is Unreal Tournament.
Yeah.
But that's still...
Beta? Like, pre-beta?
Yeah, it's like beta or alpha. I think it's alpha right now. Alpha season is still going on right now.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just like, and the thing is, I mean, being a Doom game, it brings back those memories of playing the original Doom for all of us old geezers out there.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. So, I'm pretty excited about it. I will definitely be getting it on the beta and definitely be trying it out. So,
yeah.
So.
Something to look forward to.
Yes. So, next week, we have a lot of good reviews. I didn't get a lot of reviews done this week, which I'll talk about. After we talk about what we're checking out. But first, I'll be taking a look at the WD MyCloud EX2. I already did the video for it, so if you want to go to our YouTube page, you can definitely check it out. This is Western Digital's prosumer NAS storage device. It's really, really cool. It's really super easy to set up, and I've been testing it all this week, and it's a really cool product.
Nice.
So, yeah, definitely stay tuned for that. I will be checking out the ASRock Fatality Z170 K6 Plus. This is ASRock's gaming line motherboard. Really, really cool board. Of course, it is a Fatality board, so you have all the different Fatality features that are built in, which I will talk about in the full review as well. So, pretty excited about that. And I'll be taking a look at a case from Fractal Design. We haven't taken a look at a Fractal Design case in a while. So this
seems like last year sometimes.
Yes, this is their brand new Core 500, and this is their mini ITX case, which is very, very small, super, super, it's nice. It's nicely built. I really like it. What's cool about it, it does have room for water cooling in such a small package, which is pretty awesome too. So yeah, I will be doing a whole video and
Wish I had a window though.
Yeah, they might. I don't know if they have a windowed version yet. I don't think.
Maybe they'll come out with a panel for it.
Yeah. But so I have that. And then you will be doing the final episode of Water Cooling 101.
Final episode, finally.
Yes. What is the final episode entail?
It's episode 7, and it's a memory block install and then some maintenance, kind of just some general maintenance advice for your long-term loop.
Nice.
So
we will be
kind of it's kind of an advanced bit in the memory because doing memory is a little more of an advanced kind of it's a little bit of modding. You gotta void some warranties to do it, so it's kind of just an introduction on a little more advanced water cooling.
Nice.
Just some standard maintenance stuff that everybody should know how to do.
I like it.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm pretty that series we've But it's almost been, a good, 8 months since the first article?
Probably, yeah.
Which is really cool because this is sort of a process that we've been going along. And again, I really like these articles that Derek's done because they show you everything. It's not like, okay, here's the stuff, here's how to put it together. Again, we've gone over how to pick your parts, what parts you actually need, how to actually design your loop on paper, all this kind of stuff. And again, we've gone into building a custom loop with just a CPU and then draining that and then adding a GPU, adding another radio. Like it's just an awesome series. So again, if you are, looking to do water cooling, definitely check out this series. With this article, the next one, it would be 7 total articles giving you pretty much all the information you need to build a custom loop to maintain
it,
to pick out.
I would really hope that you could read through our series and then not need any more advice at all from anyone.
That's the whole idea
That's the idea.
Yeah. So definitely stay tuned for that. And then this past week, we were supposed to do the worst PC setup, so I totally forgot to do it.
What?
Yeah, totally.
Dang, Bob,
totally. I was so busy. So the reason I didn't get a lot of reviews on this week, and the reason I totally forgot about it, is that I've been working on our video, and I finally am starting to shoot on a nicer camera, which I never shot on before because we couldn't get audio. But then I was like, one, I didn't know how to do it, and two, I didn't know how to get the audio. So I didn't know how to record from a external audio source and then sync it back up in the video. Mm-hmm. I never knew how to do it, and I thought it was going to be super complicated, and literally it's one of the easiest things. Adobe Premiere makes it super easy. So from now on, all the videos will be 1080p. And
finally.
Yes, all 1080p, all shot on a really nice camera with great audio because we're recording from an external audio source. It takes a little bit extra time in post to do it, but I think it's worth it for you guys to do it. So I was really working on that this week and really kind of once you start recording on a new camera, you kind of have to learn it and kind of have to, you know, set it up so you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I had to kind of do that. So I was working on that all week. But we'll have a lot of cool stuff. Like that WD MyCloud EX2 video that's up there was shot all on the new camera, as well as I shot a video for the Corsair Carbide Series 400C review that was shot in 1080p as well. Pretty excited for more videos, and we'll finally be in 1080p, which we should have been for a long time. But yeah, it's just like finding the time to learn these things and get it all done with dealing with everything else with the site. But we're there now, and I'm super excited about it. So
nice.
And with that, will end our podcast here. At the end, we always talk about if we did anything cool this week. Did you do anything fun?
I had a couple of things to talk about.
Oh.
I saw the Hateful Eight movie.
Okay, I saw that.
Did you? Super, super hardcore.
Yes.
I was like, wow, it was good.
It was good. I liked it. Really it was shot on, I think, 70mm.
Oh, yeah.
That's
Quentin always makes things interesting.
Yeah, so I definitely I like that. I saw that a little while ago.
Yeah.
I
don't know if why I wasn't expecting, but it's super super gory.
Yes.
But yeah, I laughed a lot too. It was good.
That's because it's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I liked it.
And it kind of like breaks boundaries, like race boundaries and stuff too, which is
I think
is always good. You know,
yeah, he always does that.
Yeah, just pokes at things.
Yeah.
The other thing, you like have asked me in the past, what is some good, cause I read sci-fi pretty much all the time and I'm reading through this series, still reading through it. It's the Commonwealth Saga by Peter F. Hamilton, and it's like hardcore sci-fi. If you're looking for a really good book, it's an insane universe that he's developed. It's extremely in depth. And if you can like handle like 600 page books, there's like six of them.
Nice.
Six or seven, so if you're a sci-fi fan, definitely check that out.
Well, definitely do that. I really like sci-fi. I like so a lot of the books I read are like business books, you know, and it's like it's good to have a book that you can kind of just disappear into, like you can kind of get your mind off work and stuff. So I definitely need. I've been wanting to actually get into the Star Wars books. I just I don't know. Oh, did you see talking about awesome stuff?
Yeah.
Did you see the new trailer?
I didn't. I haven't had a chance.
Oh, man. So there's a new movie coming out called Rogue One.
Yeah.
And what's really cool about it is that it is a standalone Star Wars movie. It's a movie that's based... It's a movie that's based in the Star Wars universe that's not part of any of the trilogies or anything like that. It doesn't follow that story, and it is dark. It is awesome. You have to check out... Derek, you really do. You have to check out the trailer. Super, super awesome.
I haven't wanted to watch it on my phone, and that's the only chance I've had. I'm waiting to be on a PC for that.
Yeah. So definitely, guys, if you haven't checked that out. Also, I've really got into this week. There is a filmmaker called Casey Neistat, and the reason I actually got into him is that our good buddy Rob, you know Rob Teller.
Yes.
He posted on Facebook. He's like, I've been addicted to this guy's vlogs. They're really awesome. And Casey is a guy. He did the a couple of really awesome videos that went viral. One of the latest ones is I think I shared it to you, was where the guys were snowboarding in New York City.
Yeah.
So he did that video, and then a while ago he did that one Nike video where he was like, Nike gave us like $30,000 or $10,000 to make a commercial, and they traveled around the world instead. Right. So he's a really cool guy, and he does a daily vlog every day, and it's because he's a filmmaker, it's very, very well done. And I'm, like, addicted to it. Like Rob said, like, he watches it every day. Like, that's all I've watched this week because I'm watching all of them from the past year. And it's really, really cool. It gives a lot of cool, you know, how he films things and talks about a ton of different things. So if you want to really – and it's really cool because he lives in New York, so it's all shot in New York. So you have these amazing shots of New York City, and it's really, really cool. So definitely – check that out if you're, you know, I would definitely say watch a couple of vlogs and you might get hooked like I am. So
cool.
Definitely check that out. So yeah, guys, that wraps up this episode. As always, we will have our show notes. So as you're listening, you can go ahead and check all those out and go through as we're talking about it. And on all of your favorite podcasting channels or applications, just Think Computers, all one word, we should show up. So until next week, catch you guys later.